Let me know when we're good back. Okay, thank you, Eric. So the title of the message this morning is a very encouraging one. God will take care of you. And during the current time period that we are in, we need to be reminded of a very comforting promise from God, which is, God will take care of you. Will not parents do anything to provide for their children, even take extreme measures? Any parent would. How much more God will take care of his children? A contemporary song states that he is a good, good father. He is our heavenly father. And as we said during worship this morning, he can do anything. Luke chapter 1, verse 37 states, "For with God nothing shall be impossible." In the Bible, we have many examples of how God can and will take care of us. So if we could turn to Matthew chapter 6 and beginning at verse 25. Matthew chapter 6, verses 25, and we're going to read to the end of the chapter. Matthew chapter 6, and beginning at verse 25. "For this reason I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? And who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to his life? And why are you so worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon, in all his glory, clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Do not worry then, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things. For your heavenly Father knows you need all these things. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." So if God gave you life, he will provide the food to sustain it. If he gave you a body, he will give you clothes. Typically in this country, most of us don't worry about something like that. But if you ever got to this point, if there's a severe downturn in the economy, which is possible, I'm not no bearer of bad news, I'm not an economist, but we know we had like a depression in the 1930s, and God will take care. Even if it does occur, God will take care. He will. So when you hear all this stuff on the news, God will take care of you. God will supply all our needs. He is our Father, our Heavenly Father. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19 states, "And my God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus." All your needs. And God, with his great, great heart, has given us our wants too. How many times has God given us something that we didn't even need? But he looked down and said, okay, I'll give it to you. You could have. What a God we have. What a heavenly Father we have. If God takes care of the birds, won't he take care of you? He's aware of even the small sparrows. I mean, they're not worrying. You see them flying around and gliding through the air. They're not worried. God takes care of them, even the sparrows. And sometimes God uses people to feed the sparrows. Springtime, when you plant the lawn, the birds love it. So God uses us too to feed the birds. And verse 27, it says, "And who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to his life?" At times we worry about something, but the Lord doesn't want us to worry. How many times have we gone to bed worrying about something? But we said our meditation this morning, before you go to bed, give your troubles to God. He'll be up all night anyway. He never sleeps. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7 up on the screen here, casting all your care on him because he cares for you. Now, every word in the Bible is important. It doesn't say give all your anxieties to him. It says casting all your anxiety on him. Did you ever see a person go fishing? They cast out their line? In other words, what this verse is saying, throw your problems on Jesus. He can handle it. Cast it on him. Get it off yourself. Throw it on him. He won't be insulted. He won't think, what did you do that for? He'll probably have a smile on his face and say, I'm glad you finally gave it to me. Cast your cares, cast your anxieties on him. If something matters to you, it matters to God. You can be sure of that. There's someone who wrote in greeting cards called Roy Lesson. And one of the things he wrote was, whatever your trial, God sees. Whatever your struggle, God knows. Whatever your cry, God hears. Whatever your difficulty, God cares. Whatever your problem, God understands. Whatever your need, God provides. What a God we have. We can't add a single hour to our lives, but worry can certainly shorten our lives. And you think about what worry does to you. Who gets a stomach ache or some other GI symptom? Who gets a headache? And God knows that. He's the creator. He knows how worry could affect us. It may affect your breathing. Worry affects all your body. And Jesus, as co-creator, knows that. And he says, dump it on me. Cast it on me. I'll take care. Stop your worrying. Is there anything that we could bring to God that he can't handle? I mean, I always say, you can't stump him, but think about it. You really can't. And you know, when you give God a request, suppose you bring to him a request about some illness, whether it's yourself or, you know, for someone else, some sickness, a kidney disease or cancer or whatever it is. He doesn't have to get a textbook of medical physiology and go and look, let me see, what was that sickness? How should I handle it? He's got it. He's God. He knows exactly what to do. He created us. He's all wisdom. He's all love. He doesn't need any textbook at all. Whatever you bring to him, he's greater. And it's not cliche to say he can do anything. Sometimes we have to remind ourselves. We say, oh, God can do anything. And then sometimes we're human. We fall into worry. So we need these reminders. God can do anything. I know at times I say, yeah, but how is he going to do it? And that's really none of my business. My business is that God can handle it, not how he's going to do it. I don't want to insult him with questions like, God, how are you going to do it? And God like might be looking down saying, Jonathan, you don't know by now? You don't need to ask that question. I know what I'm going to do. I have a note at home that states, good morning, this is God. I will be handling all your problems today. I will not need your help. So, have a good day. I love you. God knows what we're going to face from the morning, and He's got it all covered. All covered. The Lord wants us to trust Him for everything. No matter what happens during the day, He knows it's going to happen, and He's ready there to help us. God can do everything, so He wants us to trust Him for everything. God is even concerned about the wildflowers in the fields that no one is cultivating or caring for. You ever notice, like, you walk in the park, especially in springtime, and you see these little flowers blooming, and they're beautiful. And I used to like to go around with my camera and special lenses and take pictures of these little wildflowers. I still do it in Branch Brook Park. Nobody's caring for them. You don't see anyone going out there with a hose to water them when it doesn't rain. No one's getting a shovel to cultivate them, but God is taking care of the flowers. He's got His eye even on the tiniest flower. He gives beauty. He gives the flowers beauty, even if it blossoms for one day. Wildflowers were growing out of the Mount of Beatitudes when I was there, and we sat down on the mountain overlooking the Sea of Galilee. It was beautiful. And you see little flowers growing out of the mountain. And Jesus must have been looking at them and said, look at the flowers. Looks like no one's caring for them, but my Heavenly Father is. And He said Solomon was a very rich king of Israel, and not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. And God knows that the flower may have a day or two, especially in these hot days of summer. You know, the temperature was going over like 100 degrees in July, and how long could the flower last in that heat? And God knew the flower was going to wither the next day. He still gave it one day to bloom. God cares about even the flowers. He's very mindful of the flowers. Isn't He going to be mindful of us? Sometimes we need to ask ourselves, where is our faith? People who don't know God may worry, but those of us who know the Lord shouldn't worry about what we need. God will supply all our needs. And look back on your life. Hasn't God supplied all your needs? I don't know how I would have gotten through this past week without God. I wouldn't have gotten through it without God. No way. He supplies all our needs. And as we said before, He gives you your wants. So how many times have you went out to buy something you didn't really need, but you liked, maybe a shirt or a blouse or whatever, and you went out and bought it. And your closet's full and you bought it anyway. God gives you your wants. What a Heavenly Father we have. What a Father we have. Did you ever get down on your knees today and thank God for being your Father? I mean, wow. What a loving Father we have. What a good, good Father He is. And verse 33, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. This verse shows the condition for God's blessing and providence. His interests are to come first in our lives. You know, we sing that song, Abba, by Rick Pino, and one of the lines are, your thoughts define me. We want the Lord's thoughts to define us. Seek God first and His righteousness, and then all will be added to us. We need to put the Lord first in every aspect of our lives and seek more and more of Him into our lives. You'll never get to the point where you plateau with your need of the Lord. It's always there. And it seems to get greater, not less, as you go on in life. He must be our top priority. Then we can be assured that He will take care of everything in our lives. And verse 34 is so beautiful. Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. We don't need to worry about tomorrow or our future, because God will take care of that too. We don't know our future, so why worry about it? But God knows it. He's going to take care of it. Let's speak about our God, and even in times of crises. If you would turn with me to 2 Kings chapter 7, and we're going to read verses 1 to 20. 2 Kings chapter 7, and we're going to read verses 1 to 20. A very interesting event occurred in this passage. There was a severe famine in Samaria, which was the capital city of the northern kingdom of Israel. You remember, Israel was divided into a northern kingdom of Israel, the southern kingdom of Judah. It split after the reign of Solomon. It split during the time of Solomon's son, King Rehoboam. It split. So now we're talking about the northern kingdom of Israel, the capital city of Samaria. There was a great famine, severe famine, in that area. The famine was so bad that cannibalism was occurring. And the people of Israel were in a crisis. So I'm going to start reading at verse 1. Then Elisha said, "Listen to the word of the Lord." Elisha was the prophet at that time. "Tomorrow about this time, a measure of fine flour will be sold for a shekel and 2 measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria." The royal officer on whose hand the king was leaning answered the man of God and said, "Behold, if the Lord should make windows in heaven, could this thing be?" Then he said, "Behold, you will see it with your eyes, but you will not eat of it." Now there were 4 leprous men at the entrance of the gate, and they said one to another, "Why do we sit here until we die? If we say we will enter the city, then the famine is in the city, and we will die there. And if we sit here, we die also. Now therefore come, let us go over into the camp of the Arameans or Syrians. If they spare us, we will live. And if they kill us, we will but die." They rose at twilight to go to the camp of the Arameans, and when they came to the outskirts of the camp of the Arameans, behold, no one was there. You gotta love what I'm gonna read. "For the Lord had caused the army of the Arameans to hear the sound of chariots and the sound of horses, even the sound of a great army. So that they said to one another, 'Behold, the king of Israel has hired against the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come upon us.' Therefore they arose and fled in the twilight and left their tents and their horses and their donkeys, even the camp just as it was, and fled for their life. When these lepers came to the outskirts of the camp, they entered one tent and ate and drank, and carried from there silver and gold and clothes, and went and hid them. And they returned and entered another tent, and went from there also, and went and hid them. Then they said to one another, 'We are not doing right. This day is a day of good news, but we are keeping silent. If we wait until morning light, punishment will overtake us. Now therefore come, let us go and tell the king's household.' So they came and called to the gatekeepers of the city, and they told them, saying, 'We came to the camp of the Arameans, and behold, there was no one there, nor the voice of man, only horses tied and the donkeys tied, and the tents just as they were.' The gatekeepers called and told it within the king's household. Then the king arose in the night and said to his servants, 'I will now tell you what the Arameans have done to us. They know that we are hungry, therefore they have gone from the camp to hide themselves in the field, saying, when they come out of the city, they will capture them alive and get into the city.' One of his servants said, 'Please, let some men take 5 of the horses which remain, which are left in the city. Behold, there will be in any case like all the multitude of Israel who are left in it. Behold, they will be in any case like all the multitude of Israel who have already perished. So let us send and see.' Then they took therefore two chariots with horses, and the king sent after the army of the Arameans, saying, Go and see. They went after them to the Jordan, and behold, all the way was full of clothes and equipment, which the Arameans had thrown away in their haste. Then the messengers returned and told the king. So the people went out and plundered the camp of the Arameans. Then a measure of fine flour was sold for a shekel, and two measures of barley for a shekel, according to the word of the Lord. Now the king appointed the royal officer on whose hand he leaned to have charge of the gate. But the people trampled on him at the gate, and he died, just as the man of God had said, who spoke when the king came down to him. It happened just as the man of God had spoken to the king, saying, Two measures of barley for a shekel and a measure of fine flour for a shekel will be sold tomorrow at this time at the gate of Samaria. Then the royal officer answered the man of God and said, Now behold, if the Lord should make windows in heaven, could such a thing be? And he said, Behold, you will see with your eyes, but you will not eat of it. And so it happened to him, for the people trampled on him at the gate, and he died. So the leprous men made a decision to enter the camp of the Syrians. And the beginning of the chapter shows us that while we are busy worrying about our problem, the Lord is already developing circumstances to solve it. We're sitting back worrying, how could it be? What is the Lord going to do when God already knows what he's going to do, and he's engineering circumstances to solve the problem? The crisis was this famine in Samaria. But God caused these four leprous men to decide to enter the camp of the Syrians and take goods and supplies. God made the Syrian army to hear an event that didn't even exist. I love this. I mean, when you say God could do anything, here it is. They heard the sound of something that wasn't even there, that didn't even exist, but they heard the sound of invading armies when nothing was in the area. And the sound was so real that the army fled and left all their belongings behind. God can do anything. When you're worried about something, think, but God. Never mind what's in your mind, but God. Nothing was there. You gotta love this. So the Syrian army fled from nothing, but God. Jesus is the Christ of every crisis. If the solution to your problem or crisis requires a miracle, God can do it. When we say we can't see any way out, God is never short on ideas. Look at creation. Is God short on ideas? How great is our God? Is anything too difficult for him, as we sang this morning? Whatever the Lord says and declares will come to pass, even if it seems impossible to us. There is no impossibility with God. There's something else that we could remember during our times of trials and problems and crises. We know that even the cross was redeemed because Jesus hung on it for 6 hours. Before Jesus was crucified, the cross was known as a symbol of hatred and shame and criminality. But when Jesus was crucified, the cross became a symbol of love, forgiveness, redemption, and healing, and all that we need. And we can view the cross as the cross of every crisis. Take all your cares, your worries, your problems, your crises to the foot of the cross. There is nothing that cannot be fixed, solved, or restored at the foot of the cross. And when you come forward here for prayer, don't look at me or whoever I have assisting me to pray. Picture the cross up here. There are no impossibilities at the foot of the cross. there is infinite power at the foot of the cross. Jesus took the hatred, the shame, and criminality of crucifixion and made it an infinite powerhouse of redemption. Let me repeat that. Jesus took the hatred and shame and criminality of crucifixion and made it an infinite powerhouse of redemption. And that's what the cross is. He is the Christ of every crisis. What is God's response to our crises? Romans chapter 8, verse 32. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Gracious means merciful, compassionate, kind. How will he not graciously give us all things? Over the years, God has not changed and never will. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 states, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We can always trust him. He never changes. It would be a good idea to look back in our lives and see how Jesus has taken us through each crisis. He walked or carried us through each one, whether it was a sickness or a heartache, a financial crisis, a job loss. God carried us through each one. Do you remember Footprints in the Sand? When the author says, I looked back at my life and saw only one set of footprints. And he thought, God, when I need you most, where were you? And God said, the only reason why you're seeing one set of footprints is that's when I carried you. That's the God we have this morning. He is still delivering those in bondage, healing the sick, mending broken hearts, restoring losses. He's a great restorer of ruins. And even raising the dead is still going on. But God, too many times we limit God or leave him out of the equation completely. To say that he can't do anything is not a pretty saying that sounds nice. It is absolute truth. He's God. As the song states, it is no secret what God can do. Do we truly realize who we are praying to when we pray? Should we say, Heavenly Father, I come to you or thank you that I can come to you in the name of Jesus. You're in the presence of God. You're in the presence of infinity. Is there any limit to his love, his wisdom, his power? Is there anything too hard for the Lord? This is what God asked Abraham. Is there anything too hard for me? Then that's when he said to Abraham, your wife Sarah, at 90 years old, is going to have a baby. But God. Luke chapter 1, verse 37. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Our impossibilities are God's opportunities. He is the Christ of every crisis, as we sang this morning. Psalm 46, verses 1 to 3 reads, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, but my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I will close with Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. Now unto him who is able to do, watch this, exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or even think, according to the power that works in us, Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. And I'll leave you with that. We'll get down to pray. Someone could raise a prayer to conclude the message, and then we'll sing the last hymn.